Livonia, it's me. I'm here talking into the right side of this microphone, which was a challenge. That was awesome. Started recording.
Real people here.
Yeah.
Just doing real life.
Yep. Real people, real microphones, real backwards. And I'm joined today by Kate Buckner.
Hello, everyone. So glad to have us here today.
Yeah, I'm glad to have everyone here.
Thanks for being here. Oh, man, awkward.
I love it. I loved it. Well, if this is your first time on Tell Me More, this podcast is not just a bunch of jokes and awkward moments, although we do love both of those things.
Those do show up regularly. Not the point, though. Not the point of Tell Me More podcast.
It's more the how than the why.
It's true.
The why we do this podcast is discipleship is a journey. And I know that for me, the most formative moments on that journey have not been the event itself. It wasn't the sermon. It wasn't the book study. It wasn't the conference. It was the conversation I had with people surrounding those things that really formed me and really shaped me as a disciple of Jesus. And so we are trying to give you access to discipleship conversations here at Life Church Livonia by talking about the things on this podcast that we are talking about on the weekends. And so that being said, this week, we're not talking about what we talked about on the weekend. For the next couple weeks of Tell Me More, it's not going to be a reflection on the sermon from the weekend, but instead we're going to be walking through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount and finishing out the Sermon on the Mount because we just don't have enough time in our weekend services to finish it for our New Way to Be Human series. So that being said, today we're not going to be talking about what Josh talked about at the end of chapter 6. If you missed Josh Merriweather as our guest speaker, please go back and listen to him. You can listen on YouTube, watch the service there, or you can listen here on this podcast. But we are going to be looking at Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6 today. And this is about judging others. So I'm going to throw that up on the screen here. And Kate, would you read that for us?
Sure, I'd love to. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
That's a strong pig.
Mm-hmm. Pigs are pretty strong, actually.
They are pretty strong. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard they're formidable opponents, but I've never fought one in person.
Don't bother.
Yeah, is it underwhelming?
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Then no, I'll just stick to my bacon at home then.
Yeah.
So quick context for this. So this is all in the context. This, one of the things I find fascinating about this passage of scripture is this is all in the context of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, this new way to be human. So he is giving this kind of fulfilled law. You can think of it as a Ten Commandments for the church on how do we live as God's people. And he's in his last little section here in chapter 7. This is one of his last teachings that he's ending on. And he decides to park on the topic of judgment. Mm-hmm. And this really isn't about judgment. We're going to clarify what he means by judgment because this has been a hijacked phrase that I think is radically misused in our culture. And it's not quite the way Jesus is talking about it here. But Jesus is parking on this because he sees this as a critical thing to understand if we are going to live like God's people. So, Kate, I would love for you to just tell me a little bit more about what stands out to you personally from this section here.
Yeah, there's a couple things that really stand out to me. I think that the first thing, so when I first have read this, right, I was like, oh, we're not supposed to judge anybody ever because, you know, it's bad. But then the more that I read it and the more, it is bad to judge people in a condemning kind of way, but we're always making judgments about our world, right? All around us all the time. So in scripture here, what I notice is that it says in verse 5, I think it's what stands out to me the most is you hypocrite. So look at yourself here, you hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So it doesn't say I'm not supposed to engage with my brother or my sister. It just says I need to deal with myself first.
Yeah.
So I think there's an order to things here, as there normally is in scripture.
So annoying.
So paying attention to the order of things and being, you know, cognizant of what is being said actually in the text. Mm-hmm. And it says, do not judge or you too will be judged, for in the same way that you judge others, you're going to be judged the same way. The same measure you use is going to be measured against you. And so being mindful of that, how am I holding people accountable? What is the expectation that I'm creating for others? And am I holding myself to the same standard? Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that really challenged me when looking at this scripture and repeatedly all throughout, you know, anytime I read it, it's like, oh yeah, okay, how am I doing with this? Mm-hmm. And then I'd like to really understand more, and maybe you can tell me more about it. Verse number 6, because in the context of this chapter 7, when I just read verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces as well. So when I read that, I originally like for sure didn't understand it. And then I read it again. It was like, well, maybe that's just talking about, you know, don't throw your pearls to pigs. So my precious, the things that are precious to me, I don't throw them away to people who aren't going to handle them well. So that could be my story. That could be my belongings. Like, I'm not exactly sure. But then when I look at it in context of the verses, it's talking about judgment, which feels like sanctification, which is just a fancy word for healing and making changes in our lives, accountability, being healthy about our decisions and actions. And then down below in verse, which we're not talking about today, but I want to put it in context, in 7 and 8 is talking about knocking and seeking and asking and it will be given to you, which feels like salvation to me, which we're not talking about today, but in context. So then it makes me think, like, is this about faith? Are the pearls faith? Mm. So I don't know. I have a ton of questions about it because I haven't dug into this text and studied it at length. So I'm sure that you have. So I'd love to hear what you think about that or what you've learned and studied in scripture. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting kind of ending to this passage. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, one of the things I love about scripture, there's no end to the questions it can generate. And so,
yeah. You
know, I think you made a great observation and that's a really good question. A couple of things that really stick out to me. I think we have to ask some questions to not implement this haphazardly.
Yeah.
So the first question I ask reading this is, do not judge or you too will be judged. What is judgment? What does he mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
There was a real trend and it's still kind of lingering, but I remember from like 2010 to like 2015, it was like, don't be so judgmental. You know, mm-hmm, so judgmental. Mm-hmm. You can't judge people like that. You know, who are you to judge people? And when used in that context, what they were meaning is judgment was anything that disagreed with somebody, that evaluated or labeled something as right or wrong, or that was any kind of opinion that required somebody to grow and not stay the same. Those things in that kind of cultural context were what we called judgment. Like, you can't judge people for that. You don't know their story. You don't blah, blah, blah. And really what we were saying at least in my circles, was you don't have the right to tell people what's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You don't have any place to tell people what you think they should or shouldn't do. And I don't think that that's what this is talking about. And I don't think that that's true. So judgment, this is a court word. So I think as we read, it becomes a little clearer. For in mm-hmm. the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So a couple things here that I think is really amazing. One, this is basically about conflict. And so the kind of judgment that we're talking about is a kind of judgment that has to do with conflict. And it has to do with how I label people, not their actions, but how I label people mm-hmm. as good or bad, right or wrong kind of thing. And one of the things that is fascinating to me is the analogy here. And this is part of the judgment that I think is really important. The analogy here is talking about things that are not a part of us hindering our vision. Right? So the speck of sawdust is not the eye. It's just in the eye. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is saying that thing that's driving you crazy, that you are trying to pick at this other person, isn't even a part of them. It's just, not the eye, it's in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting observation.
And I think that Jesus in a really beautiful kind of way, is illustrating what it means to not judge somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, before we keep going, can I ask, who is Jesus talking to? Because I think that's an important aspect of understanding mm-hmm. context.
Yeah, he's talking to his disciples, and there's a whole crowd listening in on this. So he's mm-hmm. kind of teaching this whole crowd, but it started with the teaching to his disciples in this public place. So it's a message for everybody. There's one class, not any one job, not any.
It's good to know, right? It's good to know that this is applicable to all people.
mm-hmm. And so one of the things Jesus is talking about judgment, for the same way you judge other people, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is his mm-hmm. caution. So he's, this kind of judgment then can't mean evaluating what's right and wrong, because that would betray other things that Jesus is asking to do in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. So it can't mean that. It also can't mean, moral discernment is how I would describe that. So this kind of judgment is not a moral discernment, and I don't think it's also a hierarchy of behavior. Meaning this way is better than that way. Because Jesus himself does this throughout the Sermon on the Mount by instilling, this is better than this. You've heard it said, do not murder. I'm telling you, don't do this, right?
Don't even do this.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is saying, in the same context of that sermon, do not judge. He can't mean evaluating behavior in a hierarchy of some behaviors better than others. Mm-hmm. And he also can't mean a moral discernment of things that are good and evil. So those things are not judgment. But I think what he is getting at here is this condemning of people.
Yep.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. And one of the things I think that he illustrates in not judging in the analogy itself, like I said, is that the analogy is about two people, and they both have things in their eyes impeding their vision of the other person. And the conflict is happening because both people's vision is impeded. But at the same time, their vision's impeded not because they are blind, but because something is blocking their vision. Right? So it's not a defect with the person. It's something happening to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, in the analogy, sets up that distinction, which I think is at the heart of what he's talking about here. And it's the heart of how he treats people. When he sees Zacchaeus, he sees Zacchaeus not as a defective person, but as a person with sawdust in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Takes the sawdust out.
Yeah.
Right? When Jesus interacts with the woman who was bleeding or somebody that he was healing, again, in the eyes of people, you're a broken person. You're a person with leprosy.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, you don't belong here at all. You should not even be in camp. You got to be outside of the camp.
Your brokenness is your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, in this analogy about how to deal with that, does two things. He says, we all have that, and that's separate from who you are. And I just think that's really amazing. And one of the other things that sticks out to me in verse 5 here, he says, hypocrite, which, as we talked about last week in Tell Me More with Alex Sr., if you missed that, there's this kind of series in chapter 6 where Jesus talks about giving, prayer, and fasting. And mm-hmm. he brings up, it's like this line of hypocrites of, when you do these things, don't be like the hypocrites. And this is kind of an extension of that, where Jesus is kind of talking about, when you handle conflict, don't be like the hypocrites. And the hypocrites handle, they're hypocrites because they think they see clearly, but they're more impeded than the person they're trying to fix and correct. And so the backhandedness, not backhanded, what am I trying to say? The flip side, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Flip side of that is
thank you, self.
Backhand.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is it's to not be the hypocrite, I first have to deal with myself and my issues and then engage the other person's issues.
Right.
And only then can I see clearly. And one of the things that I just want to give a caution to about this is it's clear that both the sawdust and the log can be taken out. They're not permanent.
Mm.
And so people will quote this sometimes as a way to avoid conflict or a way to avoid dealing with difficult issues. Well, I couldn't bring that up because, you know, I have a plank in my own eye. Like it's always there, like it can never be taken out, like there's no solution other than inaction.
Well, and like I have my own sin issues. I have my own struggles. So I can't talk about that. I can't bring that up because, you know, I'm a fallible human being as well. And so I shouldn't be able to do that either.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think Jesus is again, in like I talked about with loving our enemies, there is this movement out of judgment and into grace.
Right.
And so what Jesus is, he says it in verse 5 here, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And one of the things I think that's cool too about the eye analogy is that Jesus is sees it primarily that when we're judging other people, it's primarily a vision problem because we can't see them clearly.
Right.
You know,
and if we don't see people clearly, then we can't love people clearly either.
Right. And so Jesus is, there's this kind of movement of don't judge. Why are you looking at all these things wrong with other people, these specks in their eye, right? When you have things wrong with you that are actually mm-hmm. way deeper than the thing you're picking at. So first deal with your own issues and then you can see clearly and then you go help remove it. And one of the things that's amazing is there is an after the log, the plank. And I keep saying log because that's a different translation, but there is a time period after the plank, and Jesus is instructing you, instead of writing this person off as broken or condemning them as other, deal with your own issues and then have grace by helping remove stuff from your brother's eye.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. And so then how that fits into the do not give dogs what is sacred and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You know, I think that there's a couple options with this.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's directly referring to a piece of what we just read. It could be a separate thought. That is just the next thought in between judging others and ask, seek, and knock.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of the I guess option three is it could be a separate teaching that was a part of this that just the author put in here because they remembered it there, and it's not mm-hmm. directly connected to either of these, which is kind of like option one. But either way, all that changes is what the pearls are.
Right.
And so in my, when I read this in the context of judging others, again, this whole judging others thing isn't just about judgment. It's about how do we deal with conflict beginning with ourselves. Mm. Right? That's really the guts of this little teaching. It's when conflict happens, how do you do it well? You don't judge people by writing them off or condemning them, by labeling them as synonymous with their brokenness.
Right.
Because when you do that, that is what other people will do to you. And that measure you use will be measured to you. If you're gracious with people, you will be measured with grace. If you are harsh with people, you will be measured harshly. And we see that in the world. I mean,
yeah, I can. I'm just thinking about that, you know, as you're talking. I'm like, far left, far right, the way that they treat one another, the way that they we look at each other and condemn one another and think such self-righteous ideologies and thinking that they're these terrible, heinous, awful people. Mm-hmm. And we're not able to look at them as people anymore. We look at them like the plank. Mm-hmm. And the speck, and think they're worthless.
Yeah,
they don't deserve to be in the camp anymore. They need to go way over there because we don't want them around us anymore. Mm. And that's just so damaging to a society. It's damaging to the way that we treat people. Mm-hmm. It's very sad.
Right. And I think that's a great example of that. And so Jesus affirms, your brother, the person you're frustrated with, yeah, they got a problem. But they are not the problem. They have mm-hmm. a problem. They're not the problem.
Right.
And you too. You have problems. And
so many. I have so many problems.
But you're not the problem. Right. Yeah. And he's saying, first deal with your problem, and then you can help them deal with their problem, because you're going to see them.
Well, and when we look at that, and when we think about that, and then even reading verse 6 in context of that, I think they can go together. They do have a flow to them, because your pearls, you know, that can be like my heart and my struggles. And if I come to you and you're looking at me with this condemning perspective, and I come to you with my brokenness or my sins or my struggles, and you're not a safe person, or you've already condemned me and written me off, and I come to you, it's going to create more damage to me and my sanctification, my healing process, if I come to somebody like that. Because they can just destroy me with their attitude.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of just talking about abuse.
Yeah.
So yep. I think that that's how I understand it, is dogs were not really pets. They were like, in ancient times, I mean, sure, some people had them as pets, but think of them like raccoons or something. You know what I mean? They're like symbiotes of human society. They,
squirrels running around.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. They ate your
scavenging.
They ate your mm-hmm. garbage. They were dirty. They had disease. You did not want to like be cuddling up with one of these things. They were just, right. They used human society to survive. They were not like, you know, you didn't take pictures of them and show your friends.
They weren't like your dog, Gracie.
They weren't like my dog, Gracie. No dog like my dog, Gracie.
Oh, of course not, obviously, because she's the best dog.
Yeah. Unlike Wilbur, who is... Isn't that your cat's name?
Yes, Wilbur. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, I got scared there for a second.
Yeah, no, you did great. Good job. There you go.
Anyway, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, don't bother correcting fools or mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. And there's a lot of verses in Proverbs talking about not dealing with a fool and their folly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just will drag you into it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what this verse 6 is getting at, is in order to do this well, it requires vulnerability and it requires intimacy. You know, imagine visualize the analogy Jesus is talking about here. You know, when you get sawdust in your eye and you can't stop blinking and it's super annoying and you keep rubbing your eyes because you can't see and your eyes are getting red and it's starting to get raw and it's painful.
Yes.
In that analogy, again, imagine that person's your friend or even you, and somebody is now trying to help you get that piece of sawdust out of your eye. They got to get real close. They're sticking their fingers up in your eye. You know, they're like touching your face. It's a close thing, right? It requires intimacy and vulnerability, and you have to trust them, right? You can't see the speck. You can only see their finger, right?
And so yeah.
Looking off to the side and holding your eye out, you know, and they're like, okay, look to the left. And, you know, it requires vulnerability. And so I think what Jesus is saying is there are people who live amongst garbage who will treat you like garbage. That's what a dog and a pig are, right?
Yep.
Dogs live amongst garbage. Imagine, again, kind of raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
Pigs live in slop. They're gross. And so if you give them what's valuable to you, they don't know how to treat that other than the way they treat all the other garbage in their life. Like, and it will become garbage to them. If you do that, they will trample that under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. And I think most of us have experienced that. Most of us have experienced trying to handle conflict with somebody who trashed us and then tore us to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very painful. It's very painful. And so in this whole section about do not judging, though, and what I kind of love about it is it's almost like a circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have don't judge, because the way you treat other people is the way other people are going to treat you. And then why are you looking at all these other people's problems without first examining yourself and seeing how you're contributing to the problems and what problems are going on inside of you? First, deal with that. And then you can go and address this other thing you see happening with your brother or sister. But be careful not to give people who treat everything like it's garbage things that are important to you, namely this conflict.
Yeah,
because
it makes me. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But then the final thought of that is, because if you do, they're going to trample you and tear you to pieces. But when that happens, do not judge. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of is like this circle, where Jesus is in this. I think showing us how to offer mercy and grace without giving excuse for inaction.
Right.
Yeah. What were you?
Yeah. It makes me think about the verse that talks about, or the parable that talks about the debt that was forgiven, and the person who's been forgiven much receives an abundance of grace, right? And so then they're more, hopefully, gracious to other people. And so I know my depravity. I know how unhealthy and dysfunctional, and the grace of God in my life has transformed the way that I interact with other people, the way that I treat people who are far from God, the people who fall short and come and say, like, this is what I've done, and just being able to hold space for them and love them and encourage them. Because I know my own sin nature. I know how far away from God I was when I came to him, and to be able to offer that grace. And I think that's what's going on here, is that when I deal with my own sin nature, when I deal with my own depravity and dysfunction, I can understand that I still need grace today, that I still need the love and mercy of Christ in my life.
Right.
So then when other people show up and they're so unhealthy, I can say, hey, I can be here with you in that, and that God cares about you.
Mm-hmm. And the part of this that's convicting to me is how much bigger the person who takes issue with the sawdust person, how much bigger their issues are.
Yeah. I mean, a plank in your eye, a plank is much bigger than sawdust.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
you know?
Is. And what it means is you can't get close to anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that that's like an on-purpose analogy there. And I think it's convicting to me because the question it's asking is, and I think is implying, is if we often feel like we are doing things right and other people are primarily doing things wrong, and if our mm-hmm. role in relationships we find is one of regular correction, or we're just telling other people how they need to improve, we are the person with the plank.
Absolutely.
You know, we yep. are the person with the plank. And that's
which creates a hierarchy in our relationships too, right?
Right.
Which yeah. is just not helpful. Just not helpful for intimacy, which is what you were saying.
Right. And I think that that's an undertone of this parable, this very short parable, is mm-hmm. that in order for the person with the sawdust to get that out of their eye, they need somebody physically close to them. It requires intimacy. But if you have a plank in your eye, again, imagine a 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for you to get close to somebody. And so part of it is not just for the moral integrity of it, but I think the analogy itself is implying when I have undealt with issues, I'm unable to be intimate with people. And I'm yeah. unable to be intimate enough to help them even address their problems. And it's because of my own brokenness that I'm unable to be intimate. And I have lived that. I know exactly mm-hmm. what he's talking about there. You know, like some pretend somebody is trying to help you with something you know they're bad at. Right. And I feel like so many examples of that where somebody starts giving me advice on something they know a lot about, but are not good at doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Whether that's leadership or whether that's fitness or whether that's lots of things.
I mean, that would be like me trying to tell you how to play music, I think. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got an idea, Alex. Let me tell you what you need to do on stage to play the guitar when I have no idea mm-hmm. anything about the guitar, but I've read like books about it. So yeah. Here, let me tell you. You hey, would just, what would you even do?
Yeah, what would I even do?
What would you even do if I'm like, hey, Alex, you know, I've got these really great ideas. I read a couple books this weekend about playing the guitar.
I'd say, why don't you show me how to play that?
That'd be so funny.
That'd be a snarky way to do it.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah.
I would try to be gracious, Kate.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. So anyway, any closing thoughts you have on that passage, Kate?
Yeah, I just one closing thought. I had somebody one time, I was going over to her house and she said, hey, please don't judge me because of what my house looks like. And I know what her house looks like because I've been there before. And what I said to her was, I am going to judge you, just so that you know. When I walk in, I'm going to be judging the messes and the painting on the window that you let your kids do. And what my judgment is not a condemning one of, wow, you're a messy housekeeper. It's, I'm judging you and thinking, man, this mom really makes space for creativity for her kids. And she really offers connection rather than tidying up because someone's coming over, and she offers authenticity. And so judgment, we're all judging, and that's a natural and normal human behavior. But we just need to be mindful of what we do with those judgments. And I think that some of what I see in the text there is believing the best about people and offering connection and love and support to one another, because we all have things that we're working through and working on. And that because of the hope and the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're able to overcome the struggles that we have in our lives. And so I need to consistently be working on the way that I love and care for people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good closing thought. Yeah. And I think that that's an important distinction, is the kind of judgment the Bible is telling us not to do is not ordering hierarchies of good to bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's of, I think, labeling people.
Yeah.
You know, it's the inability to separate them from the plank or them from the sawdust. And I think that, because Jesus very clearly gives hierarchies of ways that are better than others to interact and live in the world, and ways that honor God and ways that don't. And he in no way thinks all ways are equal.
Absolutely.
In terms of treating people and living life. And so, yeah, I think that's a good word, that it's a, there's no reason to feel guilty about having opinions on what better ways to live or, you know, because another judgment that would again not be wrong with that same mom would be like, man, you seem really overwhelmed, right? That's not wrong to think. It's not wrong to think. And that could be another way to think of that same situation. Again, that's not a a condemnation of that person.
Yeah.
But that, the judgment of that person would then be, man, you are really messy.
Or and you're lazy.
You're so irresponsible.
Yeah, which is so much more damaging to the way that I view that person as someone who God loves and adores.
And that's the key. It's that's the inherent in the analogy. It's the way I view that person. And I think that that's so so good. And what Jesus is so wise in those things.
Yeah,
I can't view people right when I have issues with my eyes.
Absolutely. It's a good word.
We would love to hear what you guys think about this. And we would love to hear, again, any topics that you think we should hit on or expand on. We're always looking to improve and make this podcast better. And hopefully it's a service to you. So thank you for joining us this week on Tell Me More, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.